Hello and welcome to this week's confession. My child didn't get invited and it broke both of our hearts. When your child is excluded, no one talks about what it does to you as their parent. You may see the photo, the birthday party, the group hang, the backyard play date. You may see it on Facebook, social media, or maybe your child comes home and lets you know that everyone went here on the weekend and why didn't they get to go? The truth is, you didn't know about it. You may pretend not to care. You may pretend like it's no big deal to your child. You might really try to validate them. That's okay, mate. We did something else cool too. You may try to minimize it to your child. Hey, buddy, we had a good time too. We went to the movies. Hey, buddy, but what about what we did with your uncle and your cousins on the weekend? You may pretend when you see it on social media that you don't care. You may scroll past and just try not to let it get to you. But for me, the reason I'm doing this podcast episode is yesterday, one of my kids gave me that look. And it was the look that said, "Mum, why wasn't I invited? He's my best friend." I tell you what, something inside me just broke. And it wasn't what he said, but I think it was the way that he looked up with his eyes, like such lacking in confidence. And in that moment, such low self-esteem. His face said to me, "What's wrong with me?" That's what his face said to me. I just wanted to cry. I actually just wanted to cry. And of course, you don't want to cry in front of your child. He's leaning on me and then I cry. Like, that says to him, she can't handle things. I can't tell her things. So I'm trying to take it because these moments matter. If I want my child, and that particular child is 8, if I want him to come to me when he's 14, 15, I need to show him that I can handle it. I'm a bit of an emotional person, so I don't want my son to think he's making me cry by telling me a problem. And I'm trying to hold it in, but I actually want to scream. And the reason is that one of those children that left him out so badly yesterday was a child I'd had at my house last week. And I tell you what, we rolled out the red carpet for that child and he seemed like a really nice kid. I actually thought this is going to be a great friendship. I really like the mum. No, that, and that's rare, right? Like the fact that you actually like the mum, you like the child, and your child likes them. That's like the unicorn of friendships, right? It is so difficult. I have lots of friends where my kids don't seem to gel with their kids. And I have my kids who like certain kids, but I just don't really connect with their parents. So in that moment, I felt so frustrated and angry, but I was trying to calm down. Let's strip back how it feels to parent the kid that's left out. For me last night, when I sat with how it felt, I felt grief. It's like that slow seeping grief that creeps out every time you watch other kids form groups while your child hovers nearby. They're close enough to watch, they're on their outskirts, but they're not really invited in. For example, this particular child has a birthday party coming up. He's very excited about it. We're really trying to socially scaffold him. The three kids that he thinks are his best friends don't consider him their friend. He's the kid that sends the birthday invitation but doesn't get one back. They might be the child that gives something up to really help another person out, but then they're ignored by that child at lunchtime. Maybe you have the child that thinks that they have a friend, but then their friend says, "I'm not your friend anymore." If you have a child that's neurodivergent, maybe they have ADHD, they're autistic, whatever it is, or they're not typical. Maybe they have trauma. You already know this story inside out. Maybe you've watched them struggle with social skills, being air quoting too much, but then being too aloof because they try to withdraw a little bit and be less. Maybe masking, maybe trying so hard, maybe overgiving or being used. So many neurodivergent kids I see will give their pocket money, whatever they have, to another child just to have a moment of acceptance. But when I stood with my child last night and I held him while he cried and he said, "Why don't they like me?" There is no handbook for this. There is no manual. There is no lifeline for the surge of emotion that goes through you because you'll do anything for that child. And when my son said to me last night that his three best friends he has in the world haven't been letting him sit with them at lunchtime because they don't consider him their friend, but he considers them his three best friends. The confusion, the disappointment, and just that feeling I could see in his face of like, what's wrong with me? And what I said to him last night when I held him was, I said, mate, if there was one kid in the world that I would have lunch with tomorrow, it would be you. And of course I meant that. Like, I love my kids equally, but in that moment, if you have a child that needs you that badly, I would drive to the school and have lunch with him. But of course that's inappropriate. That's not what you should do. But that's how I feel as a mother. Fury and anger that I'd had one of the kids at my house last week and I'd really given all to try and scaffold that friendship. And disappointment. There is no guide when you are the one sitting in the car outside school while you watch other kids run around saying hello to each other and yours stands alone by themselves looking around and you can see their little face desperate for somebody to like them. Where you're like, this is my child, the love of my life. How can no one else see how special he is? Or why can other kids not see how special they are? If we go to the research for a moment, the research tells us that social exclusion isn't just some hurt feelings. It's not about being more resilient because that's what life is. Let's just take that out right now. Yes, as adults, if you go into a work environment, people don't have to have lunch with you. People can be left out. You can't make adults be friends with other adults. Yeah, I get it. But this child is 8 and he's not an adult yet. He's not equipped developmentally for that yet. So I don't think leaving a child that's 8 to sit by themselves every day at lunch is going to get him used to what's going to happen to him when he's 21. Like, that is just ridiculous. We know that social exclusion is not just hurt feelings. It activates the same neural pain as a physical injury. That is what the research tells us, and I'm going to put that in the show notes. So this is why it feels physically painful for a child to be excluded to that level, because it is physically painful. The brain and the research backs that up. We know that neurodivergent kids are more likely to experience peer rejection or like conditional friendships, I like to call them, air quoting. So for example, the friendship might be conditional on your child giving up their canteen money for the other child. The friendship might be conditional on, if all the other kids in my circle of friends are away, then you can be my friend, but only if they're away. The exclusion usually happens more around the unstructured play. So like playgrounds, lunchtime, and that can really come back to that misinterpretation on social skills, tone, hidden rules. For example, one thing that I've experienced recently with this particular child I'm speaking about is he is very competitive. I think what's happened with his particular friendship group is in handball, my son has not understood that if he's playing handball with 3 kids in his group of friends, I think they may have an expectation that they go a little bit easier on each other and they don't get each other out. My son does not get that. He goes hard on everyone, no matter who they are. And I think he's accidentally gotten them out, possibly, I'm guessing here. But those hidden rules around you don't get your friends out or whatever it is can be really lost on neurodivergent children. And this is not just ADHD, by the way. When I'm talking about lack of social cues, this also is really common in autistic children. So if you have a child that's struggling socially, sometimes it's more than ADHD. It can be other things as well. But sometimes there's this myth around autistic children that they don't have an interest in having a friend, which just blows my mind because it's so untrue. Autistic children do experience a lot of social exclusion, as do kids with ADHD, but it's not a lack of interest. It's usually because there's a misunderstanding on the communication. They are expected to somehow read these neurotypical social cues, like, for example, you don't get your friends out in handball, but no one actually says that to my son. He doesn't know that. So then you have this communication style that's not reciprocated or understood. If you want to know a little bit more about neurotypical and neurodiverse communication styles, a great guide on my website is the Playground Pickup Guide for ADHD Mums. It goes over why and how sometimes ADHD mums can come off a little bit bitchy. Now, I have a bit of a resting bitch face, and that's just, I think, the way my face is. And I'm a very blunt, straight shooter, so I often miss small talk. These missed social cues in kids often continue on to adult life. If you'd like to know more about that, check out the guide. So when your child comes home and says, I don't have any friends, that's not them necessarily being dramatic, but it can be the fact that they're actually experiencing hurt feelings on a really physical level. And they can be experiencing trauma if it's over a long period of time. They don't feel heard. They sit by themselves. Depending on the child and the circumstances, it can actually be really traumatic. And of course, it affects us, the mums, the parents. We are more likely to experience chronic stress and burnout. And feelings of helplessness or anger, lack of sleep. Last night I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning thinking, what can I possibly do about this situation? And of course, we want to jump in and fix it. I want to drive to the school and eat lunch with my child. And of course, eating lunch with your child every day isn't sustainable or good for everybody. But that's what my biological feeling is. If you'd like to know more about resilience and kids and how it all works out, I'm going to put in the show notes a special podcast episode with Emma Rose Parsons, a psychologist, and she talks about what's resilience building with kids and what's traumatic and how to tell the difference. So if you hear things from your child that they don't have friends, they were left out and they're hurting, and it seems like the world, the playground, the school just keeps moving on without them and they're left behind, it does feel unfair, but it can feel completely unbearable for not just the child, but for you as well. So what are we going to do about it? Okay, number one, my child last night stands in front of me, looks at me with a face that's screaming at me, what's wrong with me? Why don't they like me? And he's saying to me, my three best friends wouldn't let me sit with them at lunch. First up, I always validate first. If you struggle to do this, think about if you have a partner or a friend and you tell them a problem and then they just go and fix it. Like, for example, let's say you're going through a breakup and your friend says to you, oh, well, plenty more fish in the sea, you might find someone better. Or why don't you go on this app? This has got some cool people on it. And you're like, I just broke up with someone 12 hours ago. I'm not really ready for solutions. You want someone to validate how you feel first. You may say something to your child like, it really hurts to feel left out, doesn't it? You thought they were your friends and now it doesn't feel true. That's confusing and really sad. They were your three best friends and they said they weren't friends with you. I'm so sorry. That must have felt awful. Try and find the emotion that you think they have, whether it's disappointment, anger. They might be in anger. You might say, wow, I would feel really angry if my friends said they weren't my friends. So try and pinpoint what the emotion is and say to them, hey, like, that's hard. What not to do at the time is say things like, they probably didn't mean it. I'm sure you're their friend. Just sit with someone else. Oh, well, just find another friend. Well, eating lunch is only about 10 minutes. Did you play with someone else at soccer? Or I didn't like that friend anyway. Who needs them? This is a real point that is actually hurting your child. They're in pain, emotional pain. Don't just move on. Actually spend a little bit of time letting them know that you get it. That would hurt. Some people like to avoid the emotion and think, oh, I don't want to like focus on it because I'm going to make my child feel worse. Okay, think about it in terms of yourself though. When I have a problem and I have a friend or a partner or a family member that says, hey, that sucks. That would really suck. I'm so sorry. That's really unfair. I hope you're okay. I instantly feel a little bit better. If they just go, oh, well, don't worry about it. Just do something else. It's not a big deal. Like that doesn't make you feel better about the problem by moving on. So number two, keep the door open for further communication. If your child is a child that will talk to you quite often and they're fairly open, that's great. Keep the conversation going. If you have a child that isn't a talker, you may try drawing with them, for example, or talking to them in the car or while they're in the shower. So it's not that necessarily eye-to-eye contact, like we're having a big serious discussion. You may have the child that drops a bomb when you're like trying to drop them off for soccer, or drops a bomb when you're trying to put them to bed and you're trying to leave, or really in inopportune moments. That may mean that they're a child that likes to do something else while they talk to you. For example, you may walk the dog. If you're finding your child a little difficult to talk to, just keep leaving the door open, keep trying to open it up, and just notice that when they talk to you, it may be in situations where you're actually doing something else. If that's the case, you may figure out that that child doesn't like that one-to-one serious chat. That's okay. Number three, consider having some scripts for support. So for example, you may want to go through the scenario with the child. They may want to know exactly what to say. Explicit social rules. And when I say explicit, like clearly laid out. If you have a child that's struggling with social cues, you may actually have to go step one, do this. Step two, then you go step three. You may actually need to step out for them what some of those things look like. So instead of saying something general like, okay, well, maybe sit with someone else next time, you may have to go through exactly who that is that they will approach and what exactly they will say and when they will say it. Otherwise, there can be a real misinterpretation around what they're supposed to do, and then those strategies may not work. So consider really scripting it out what to do. Or number four, consider talking to the teacher, but with a clear goal. So it may not be a general question like, how's he going? Has he got some friends? What does he get up to? How's he doing socially? Maybe actually be specific with some clear goals. What are some structured support that take place in the breaks or in the period that your child is struggling with? What actually helps with social inclusion? Is there a structured lunch break available? Is there activity in the library? Who would be some great friends for my child? What can I do? What are you seeing? Ask some questions and actually try and figure out if there's some scaffolding that can be done, or if there's other children that you could work with. Maybe there's other outliers. Talk to the teacher about that with a goal. The other thing that can really help is to talk to your child and reframe it gently. You may say, sometimes people don't know how to be good friends, and that's not your fault. You're learning how to be a good friend and they're learning how to be a good friend, and people make mistakes when they're growing up. You might say, some kids are still figuring out how to include others. That's not on you, that's on them. Or you might say, not being included really hurts, but it's not your job to fix it. It's not because of who you are. Some people don't know how to include others. You may bring it back to personal. I struggle with this too. Some places are just not built for kids like you yet. I struggle at work too. I struggled at school. You may bring it back to a personal example and say, school was really hard for me, but when I went out and got a job, it really improved. But telling a child that it doesn't matter, I don't think works. But strip it back for your child and your example and see what works for you. So if you've ever wanted to drive to the school, pull up a chair and eat lunch with your child just to let them know that they are not alone, same. You're not overprotective. Maybe you're witnessing harm and you're just desperate to offer safety because you're their mother. If your child is one of those kids that seems to just be on the outer, you may find that you are the lighthouse and they are clinging to you in a storm. And that's a lot for us to take in. Today's reset is this. Their belonging is not just a bonus. You don't have to stand by and just hope that they can be included. You have every right to fight for them to be included at school and in places that are supposed to be safe for them. No, you can't force other children to be friends with them, but we can encourage other children to be polite and kind and inclusive. That is this week's quick reset. If this has resonated with you, please share it with a friend, follow the podcast, or review it. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.